Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Foul Territory. Sorry for the early technical glitch, but that's okay. I am Travis Jones, as you probably remember from last week, and all aboard the sports train, I'm your fun doctor. So let's strap in and get straight to the choo-choo-choo-truth. Well, that's right. It's a very special 4th of July edition. We're very excited to get into it, and let me kick it to my co-host, Asa Beal. Asa, how you doing?
Travis, I'm doing real well. It's so good to be back here with you. On this beautiful 4th of July afternoon, I'm out here in sunny San Francisco, and it's the middle of the day for me, in the middle of the week, and I'm happy to be here celebrating my country with you. And just like to thank everybody out there for tuning in. Once again, this is Foul Territory, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. And we're going to be every Wednesday for the rest of eternity. So please tune in. Today, we have a special showtime because it is a special holiday edition. So we are live from the BBQ pit on the East Coast and on the West Coast. It might be a figurative BBQ pit, but we are...
It's actually the largest BBQ pit in the world. It stretches all the way across America, and we're happy to be broadcasting our sports knowledge from there.
There you go. It's like the melting pot was a little played out, so we thought we would... introduce a new cooking metaphor. But today is America's birthday, so we'd like to wish her and all of her lovely inhabitants a happy birthday. The first thing that comes to my mind on a day like this is the only sporting event that could possibly take place on the 4th of July, and that is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Good. That's right. Every year, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Do you wonder why some countries hate us? Maybe it's because every 4th of July we have a contest about who can eat the most hot dogs in a certain amount of time. It is the epitome of gluttony, but it's also a beautiful thing, and there's one man that has long reigned over the hot dog world. Asa Beal, who am I talking about?
You're talking about Joey, the dog stuffer in his face, Chestnut!
I don't know if that's his nickname, but he doesn't need one because Joey Chestnut is synonymous with competitive eating, something his mother no doubt dreamed of when she first knew that she would have such a gifted child. He put down 68 hot dogs in 10 minutes today, along with the buns, because why wouldn't you eat the buns? This is America. But that, sadly, only tied his world record. He couldn't break it for the people out there. But... you know, I guess he'll take away another championship and be pretty happy with that. Kobayashi, as you may remember, used to be one of the hot dogs of that world, but had a falling out with Nathan's and has been banned from the event.
Oh, man. Who knew that there would be beef in the hot dog contest?
Mm.
I just assumed that hot dogs are just a whole bunch of other random shit put together in a tube.
It's a lot of stuff. And the makeup of Joey Chestnut's, you know, just his internal system to process that amount of disgusting food. He's a medical marvel, a marvel of science, if you will. Speaking of ingesting things, because it's America's birthday, And because it's the holiday that we typically celebrate by going outside and drinking and playing with fire, are you drinking anything on this particular afternoon, Travie?
I was lucky enough to spend my afternoon at the pool, like an American should. There was lots of cooking out to be had. There were lots of bikinis around. And right now I'm drinking on canned Sierra Nevada. Never had the canned version before. But when you're at a pool, you can't carry glass around. So that's what I had to go with. I like Sierra Nevada. It's a good beer. It's an American beer. And that's what's important on today. Goes down smooth, tastes delicious, good for any season. If I suggest a beer, I'd say maybe Sierra Nevada. I'm personally a fan of Left Hand Brewery, so I'm going to throw out there. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, Left Handed Brewery. So Left Handed Stranger would be my suggestion if you're looking to splurge on some beer on the 4th of July.
Travis Jones with some behind the bar knowledge. Sierra Nevada actually is made near where I am, on the Bay Area. I've actually never.
What a coincidence. That's so funny.
Crazy. I've never had it in a can, but I'm sure it's delicious. I'm drinking a Widmer Brothers. It's a Hefeweizen, this particular selection. And that's a brewery up in Portland, Oregon, which there aren't really many breweries up there. So kind of a rare thing to get a beer from Portland, Oregon. But, it's pretty good. I'm into Hefeweizen sometimes. It can be a nice beer when you're out in the heat.
Especially if you're a chick.
Or when you're a chick. They like them too. Sadly, it's not as tasty as Smirnoff Ice, but Widmer Brothers is not going to be sponsoring us. We can be pretty sure of that.
By the way, we're sponsored by Smirnoff Ice, so quick shout out to Smirnoff Ice. Smirnoff Ice, if you want to get diabetes before you get drunk, Smirnoff Ice.
Yeah, and now you'll have health care that you need to pay for that diabetes. So that's our one political comment of the show. You're welcome. You know what, Travis? I feel like, feels like a musical day out here in Cali. The birds are chirping. Everybody seems lively. Everybody's walking around. Everybody's happy. I'm happy that you guys took the time out to come listen to our show. We'd like to take you to another little segment that we like to do.
1, 2, 3, 4. She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories, where everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky.
All right, Tommy, you're the oldest. I'm counting on you. Come on.
She's got eyes of the bluest sky as if they thought of rain.
I hate
to look into those eyes and be at night.
Nice vibrato, buddy. All right, Alice, let's go.
Come on,
it's so flat. You don't even look good while you're singing. It's the worst thing I've ever heard. Just $1,200 a week for voice lessons, and this is what I get? Okay, I'm going to save it with the solo.
Bow, bow, I'm dead. And I can sing high like this.
Ooh.
And I can sing high.
Oh, Lord.
That beautiful rendition brought to you by Adam McKay in Step Brothers is, of course, Sweet Child of Mine. And that brings us to our most popular segment. It's what everyone's talking about on the streets. Let's get to Tweet Child of Mine. Asa, what's your tweet of the week?
I'm a little out of breath from listening to that rendition. That is just beautiful. My tweet of the week, I'm going to have to use one of my own tweets to tweet my own horn a little bit. Little thing that's going on, just a little bit of background right now. The MLB All-Star Game, which is coming up in a few days now, we talked about last week a little bit. But what they have is this final vote, which we'll get to in more detail. But basically, there's a few players that have a chance to be the last man in, team number 68 or 69, I guess, in the NCAA tournament, to use a little cross sports reference. And Michael Bourne of the Braves, the center fielder and leadoff hitter extraordinaire, is one of the aforementioned few. And I just, it kills me that he's not in the All-Star game, and hopefully he will be voted in. So I was sending out tweets to that effect. So my tweet was, Michael Bourne's major league rank, third in hits, third in steals, third in games, seventh in runs, and fourth in a little defensive stat called ultimate zone rating. And then in all caps, he is an all-star, vote Bourne.
And that's absolutely true. I mean, like you said, you're talking about a gold glove quality and gold glove winner in center field. And the guy has been the most productive member of the Braves offense, third in the league in steals, scored a bunch of runs. I mean, it's just kind of a shame that he's not in, and maybe because of injuries or maybe because of the final vote, you know, he'll get a chance to get in.
Yeah, I hope so. But I feel like he would deserve, you know, he should be voted in. He shouldn't have to eke in on this technicality. But
especially when you look at some of the other guys in the All-Star lineup, and we'll get to that soon enough. I have two tweets I want to read. Neither of them are my own. I went pretty hard with the Sandusky joke last week, so I'm going to back off my own Twitter account.
Okay.
The first one is Bill Simmons, and this is something that we'll get into soon, but one of the most beautiful tweets I've ever read about Atlanta sports. And I quote, "So, it's been 2 hours. How did Atlanta flip 2 years of Marvin Williams into 1 year of Devin Harris? Patiently awaiting an explanation." And I think Bill Simmons hit it right on the nose when Atlanta sports fans heard that Marvin Williams had been traded. I think everyone was aghast that another GM was willing to make that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get to that, obviously. And the second one is a Rob Delaney tweet.
It's a quote tweet. It is a quote.
To quote this tweet, Rob Delaney, "I'd eat here again. My Yelp review of my neighbor Karen's pussy." So, gotta love some Rob Delaney.
Yeah, he's come under fire a little bit recently from some right-wing bloggers with their loins aflame. Really just can't handle his level of humor, and more specifically his level of humor aimed at the Romney 2012 campaign, where he has dominated the Twitter waves. It was funny because he was in this back and forth, and then I later saw a tweet back at whoever was slandering him, saying thanks for, you know, giving me 20,000 more followers, which I'm sure happened because you know, it's impossible not to just lose your lunch when you laugh at his jokes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun segment. I'm glad everybody likes that segment so much. And just as a little plug, you can always give us suggestions for the Tweet Child of Mine tweet of the week by tweeting at either Asa Base on Balls
or at Travis _Pones, spelled P-W-N-S.
There you go. Also, there's a Twitter for the show now. So Foul_Territory, foul spelled like the base out situation, not the bird. We look forward to hearing stuff from that about you, stuff about that from you. Get my prepositions confused. But let's get on to sports, because
yes,
that's what
we're all right. I need no money.
Little Troy, of course, taking us right into the NBA. Wanna be a baller, wanna be a shot caller, and one big baller shot caller in the NBA made a big move this past week. I'm sure many of you guys have heard about it, but Joe Johnson, the seemingly untradeable shooting guard of the Atlanta Hawks, was moved to the Nets, who are desperate to make a splash in this offseason of the NBA, making the big move to Brooklyn, trying to make some waves, hoping that maybe a Joe Johnson can entice Deron Williams and possibly Dwight Howard to stick around. Asa, what have you been hearing about what's developing in Brooklyn?
Well, it turns out that Deron Williams did, in fact, decide to sign on with the Nets. You know, I guess he's excited about the prospect of going to Brooklyn and being the face of the franchise. It seems a little murky about whether they're going to be able to afford Dwight Howard right now, if they could even trade for him in the first place. But, you know, I guess Joe Johnson was, you know, motivation enough kind of to have a running mate for D-Will there in Brooklyn. But certainly a big trade for the Hawks. And I just want to make one quick point that kind of relates to a lot of this off-season stuff. I think the NBA, well, I guess it's like this in a lot of sports. But the NBA seems even more so. A player can really wear out his welcome somewhere. And even if he has talent, you know, even if he has been part of winning teams in the past, I feel like players can really quickly acquire negative labels. And obviously guys who are getting paid, who are getting overpaid, will get criticized that whether they deserve it or not. But I think a lot of these trades are an instance of that. Going back to your Marvin Williams for Devin Harris trade, you know, Marvin he's a serviceable small forward. He shouldn't really be a starter on a good team. And it's not that the Hawks didn't like him, but, you know, when we gave him too much money, automatically the perception became, oh, Marvin sucks, which he doesn't suck. He just never should be necessarily a starter.
Right. He's solid at defense. Once out of every five games, he'll hit a few threes. He's been around the league a while. He's a serviceable small forward. You can understand why someone would want him, but his price tag is a little bit higher than you'd like.
Yeah, it is. And same with Joe Johnson. Obviously, everybody knows he signed the biggest contract in the NBA a couple off seasons ago. You know, it felt like the Hawks kind of, you know, missed out on all the other free agents and just felt like, well, we got to sign our guy. But again, Joe is a guy who was a sixth man in Phoenix. We got him in a deal for Boris Diaw, who, you know, ended up being pretty solid, but everybody thought that it was a bad deal for Atlanta at the time, including Dewey Lamb. and, you know, he blossomed into a superstar. So, yeah, relative to making $120 million and making as much as LeBron and D-Wade, sure, Joe Johnson seems like a bust. But, if, you know, given the fact that he went from sixth man to all-star, you know, you can see why the Nets would want him.
Yeah, I really like that you just made that point. And that's something that I've been thinking about in the past few days as I've been kind of mulling this trade over is Joe Johnson came to the Hawks when nobody wanted to. And granted, it was because we gave him Kobe money coming out of Phoenix where he wasn't one of the go-to guys. But he did help steer a young team to be a perennial playoff contender, always top five in the East. And while Hawks fans might have been disappointed at our actual championship chances, the fact is, when you're the Atlanta Hawks and you go from having 13 wins to having over 50 every year, you can't get too mad at Joe Johnson over, you know, what he's brought us over the last few years. And hopefully the fact that we were able to move his contract to get some expiring contracts in, get a few shooters like Keon Dooling and Anthony Morrow, you got to figure, you know what, maybe this whole thing worked out and maybe it's going the right way in the future. It's the first time in a while I've been excited as a Hawk fan.
Yeah. I have to agree, and real props to Danny Ferry, who used to be the Cavs GM, so, you know, has a lot of bad press for kind of being the guy that let LeBron get away or, you know, didn't give LeBron the tools needed to win. But, you know, he's accomplished a lot, and the Marvin contract, not only did we get rid of that, but Devin Harris, you know, is a really solid guy, and Jeff Teague I like as a starting point guard, but you definitely need more than one point guard. You know, more than one fast point guard, more than one effective point guard. And a second unit with Devin Harris leading it looks pretty sexy to me. I mean, he's got real speed. I mean, you know, real pick and roll threat. And then he's got a pretty sweet little jumper. So I think a quality signing there. But like most of these guys we got from the Nets, too, he's going to be an expiring contract. So essentially, the only people we have signed past this year are Al Horford and the guy we just drafted out of Vanderbilt, John Jenkins.
Right. It's crazy. A lot of people are throwing around that maybe we'll have the cap space to go after a Chris Paul and a Dwight Howard. I'm a little more pessimistic after being a Hawks fan my whole life. although I do think that Danny Ferry really has changed the perception of this organization and what they want to do. So it's interesting. Actually, we have some callers on the line, so how do you feel about taking a question or two?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's take that from the one who's been on for a minute and a half now.
All right, love to do it. Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jeff from Speculation Sports. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
good. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big pumpkin bowl kind of guy. Nothing but ass clowns, I call it on my podcast. But let's, you know, I don't like the culture. I live in the great state of Minnesota. We have the Timber Stiffs here. Obviously, hockey is big now. We got Parisi and Sobin's here. I like hockey. I'm a Blackhawks fan. But, you know, I was talking about this in my podcast last night. And baseball, if you don't mind, going to paint drying here real quick here.
Absolutely.
You know, I know
baseball.
Well, I'm not a big paint drying guy, but we have Baby Jesus here in the great state of Minnesota. And the All-Star break is always every year. It's always someone pissing in the morning. You know, someone's not going to make it. And I don't know. I said on my show, my TED Talk, I had one of my guys on my board of directors of Speculation Sports. And we've discussed before, and I'll ask you guys the question is, if you were a baseball player and tomorrow you stop breathing and you're going to be buried in a coffin, as they close that coffin, we don't be remembered as an all-star or a champion. My point is, I think a champion, because you play a sport to be a champion. You look at Palmer auctioning off some of the stuff, the personal, you know, the individual stuff. It's not a big deal for him because he wants to help out the family. But the point is, it's like, you know, Dusty Baker, I'm not a big fan of the guy, but he's pissing and mourning about an all-star snub, which he should be worried about the back half of the season. The Red Legs are up by a half a game, I believe. That should be more important of hoisting the trophy in October or September. What do you think he'll remember, hoisting the trophy or the snub? So whoever's getting snubbed, build a bridge, get over it. He who has the gold sets the price when you're picking the team. So I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, like I said, my Mike Webster, who plays for the Steelers, has been long past, but remember him what? As a champion, right? As a four-time Super Bowl champion. So I just think they got to build a bridge to get over it, and Baker's got to move on for the next part of the season. So being a casual paint-drying guy, I think that's a total waste of time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's a good question. You want to plug your podcast while you're on here? Thanks for calling.
Well, I got two podcasts. It's Cowport Radio and Speculation Sports. I have two premium calls. I also simulcast on the Mighty Mighty Big Shoot. We're Cowport Radio on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, so, and also on YouTube as well. And also, you guys, there's a place on Facebook for blog talkers. You can put your show in there. You can get in there and you can put your show in there. So the blog talkers are on Facebook. Put your show in there. Ask to get in there and put your show, and people promote their show on Facebook.
Great. Thanks so much. We appreciate your contribution a lot.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I feel like, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. And I would like to personally win a championship. Although I think it would be frustrating to not be necessarily mentioned as one of the tops of your peers amongst your peers. Baseball is a very different thing than a lot of other sports. I think NBA, you know, you're judged by your championships. NFL, if you're a quarterback, everyone looks at your rings. Baseball, because it's so reliant on the team, I feel like individual accomplishment is a little more important. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, yes, of course, the Reds should be focused, you know, on the season. But, you know, it's the hot topic. In baseball, there's a big break, you know, for the All-Star game. It's during the season. So the focus shifts to that. And everybody knows in baseball, the season's a marathon. I mean, you're not going to hear Dusty Baker, you know, bemoaning one loss, even though, you know, it is important at this time of year. I just think it's topical. There's obviously bad blood between the Cardinals and the Reds. And, you know, the Reds love to stir that up, as the Cardinals do too. But I agree. I think individual accolades are more important in baseball. You don't as much hear, maybe in basketball. Well, I guess you hear that people are all-stars. But I don't know. I think it's way overblown. We actually have one more caller. So while we're on a caller binge, why don't we take that one too?
Let's go for it, America, baby.
All right, caller, you are on the air. Who do we have here? Okay. Well, that was
Thank you very much.
Well,
it looks like our engineer Dave, who's screening our calls, did a very bad job with that one. Drunk on the job again. Thank you very much, Dave.
Dave is he's a bit unresponsible, but you know, we're gonna give him a pass on that because it is America's birthday. But thank you. We do appreciate callers calling in, especially if you actually have something to say. That's always fun. So, you know, a couple of these other items, you know, we got a little sidetracked with baseball there. But who are some of the other big names that might be on the move in the NBA, Travis?
Well, one thing that it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out over the next few days is that the Portland Trailblazers have offered Roy Hibbert big bucks to come play center alongside LaMarcus Aldridge. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Pacers won a match. I think that he makes the Pacers a lot better team. One of the advantages that they have over a lot of other teams in the East is that they have a true center. They have a guy who can clog up the lane. He's not terrible offensively. He's continued to improve every year in just about every category. And it's really hard to find a center these days. So I think it'll be interesting to see what direction Indiana wants to go. And I think that if this trade goes through and there's a new big three in Brooklyn, then that'll kind of help fill the power vacuum in the East. But with the uncertainty of Derrick Rose and with Boston aging, I think that Indiana could really, you know, if they continue to improve, maybe make another signing or two, they could maybe emerge as one of the better teams in the East if they can keep this core together. I don't know if anyone can take down Miami, but it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few days.
Yeah. For me personally, I would not let Hibbert walk. And obviously they're not letting him walk. Portland's coming after him, you know, with all the money they can muster. But I just could not fathom the Pacers, you know, not wanting to hang on to Hibbert. I watched them a lot in the playoffs, and he has really gotten an offensive game now. I mean, he's still not the quickest feet in the world, not the most athletic guy in the world, but he's big enough that if he can get a body on you and he's, you know, 8 to 10 feet away from the basket, you know, he can take one drop step and got a little bit of a baby hook now. He's got some moves. And defensively, like you're saying, he's just a presence.
Yeah. When he came out of Georgetown, it looked like the kid was built out of an Erector set, but now he looks like a true legitimate NBA center who, you know, as you said, has just been improving every year.
Good throwback to the Erector set. And
thanks.
Maybe the Pacers, maybe some stuff is going on. I know that Larry Bird, was president, and I believe president and GM, maybe just GM, but he stepped down right before the draft, and maybe they've been in some turmoil. I know they picked Miles Plumlee, which everybody was a little shocked about, even though he is of the Caucasian persuasion. just to talk about Portland for a second, you know, just drafted a guy out of Weber State, Damian Lillard at point, who knows what he's going to do, but all the NBA scouts like him. There was a consensus that he's the number one point guard. And if they can get Hibbert and put him and LaMarcus Aldridge down low, I mean, that's a lot of size, a lot of skilled big men. That's a formidable duo right there. Them together, you know, they have Batum at the small forward. They have some other pieces. But I think that could be potentially really dominant, you know, maybe the best front line in the West. I can't think of anyone, who would be better than that.
Yeah, it's very formidable. And speaking of the Trailblazers, a former very prominent Portland Trailblazer, Brandon Roy, I kind of thought he was out of the game, thought he was retired, but he's been making a little bit of noise this offseason in terms of teams talking to him, teams looking around, and seeing if his knees are going to hold up or if they're going to explode on the court.
Yeah, one of our favorite South Park episodes. I mean, I think for anybody to get away from the Trailblazers medical staff is a good thing. They have a well-documented history of not actually being a medical staff. I don't know. I mean, what did he do? Did he ruin his knee or something? I mean, he was done. He announced his retirement and now he's back. I mean, it's hard to know what to expect because at one point he was, you know, he was easily a top five shooting guard in the league. But not only that, he was a guy who was a great end-of-the-game shooter. You know, he was a closer. And
yeah, and there's really a dearth of good shooting guards in the NBA right now. When we were talking about it the other day, I mean, you know, Ray Allen's getting up there, Kobe's getting up there. There's not a lot of great shooting guards, and Brandon Roy was one of those, as you said, top five guys for a few years. And it's really sad after all that he brought to the game of basketball that his career was, ending. So maybe he can turn this around, turn it into a feel-good story, latch onto a good team, and win a ring or have a good year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if he's now like your third option on a good team, I mean, I think that's really good. You know, if he's the shooting guard for the Mavericks or something, say, or, you know, a good team who needs a player who's not going to, you know, he'll probably only play like 30 minutes a game because you don't want him to re-explode those knees, but you know, definitely some offensive talent. And kind of a winner. I remember everybody was he just seemed like a good guy, which who knows what the hell that means in the NBA? Probably nothing. But everybody.
Yeah, you got to figure Portland fans were really excited back when they first drafted Greg Oden, and they had Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge, and that had the potential to be an incredible team. And just as you said, I don't know if it was the medical staff or if there was something in the water, but just about everything went wrong, and that's it's unfortunate. But there is some other exciting stuff happening in the NBA. One of my favorite players of all time, being a small white person, Steve Nash has been drawing a lot of attention, as he should, as a former two-time MVP. What have you been hearing about what Steve Nash might be doing over this offseason?
Oh, Canada. Well, Steve Nash is a two-time MVP. He's really sought after. He is a guy who, you know, for years after Phoenix kind of fell off the map a little bit and Stoudemire and Marion left and it was pretty much just him, everybody was like, well, when is he going to escape Phoenix, you know, like free Nash, all this stuff. But, you know, he waited out the free agency and now he has his choice and he could go anywhere. I've been hearing that the Knicks are a front runner for him, which I guess that's to put him and Jeremy Lin on the same team. I mean, good, you know, mentor for the young point guard.
Hoping that a Nash Stoudemire reunion will be able to reignite that very awkward offense that they have going in New York. You still have Carmelo to screw things up, but maybe, you know, bringing Steve Nash in, I guess, is the hope that they have.
Yeah, that's
not a great defensive team if you look at it on paper.
That team makes no sense.
Yeah,
but
it's hastily thrown together.
But yeah, I mean, they gotta defend their territory now because you know, the Nets are invading the city proper. But you know, I've heard the Lakers are an option. I guess Ramon Sessions decided to opt out of his contract, so they're in the market for a point guard. Point guards are really sought after right now. You know, everybody needs a good, fast point guard because everybody needs to run the pick and roll and defend the pick and roll. And then you probably need a good, fast backup point guard too, like we're talking about with the Hawks and Devin Harris. So, I mean, Steve Nash has a pick of wherever he wants. I know Toronto offered him a boatload of money, but you got to think, doesn't he want to go somewhere where he can win a title next year?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in Steve Nash's career, that's kind of the only knock on him. I mean, he's, you know, he's been the assist leader for several years in his career, as we both said, two-time MVP, and he's always been right on the cusp. He played on some very good Mavericks teams, some very good Suns teams, and you got to figure that that's a little bit frustrating over the years. One of the things that Toronto's done to try to entice Steve Nash and bolster their lineup was they signed Landry Fields to a huge contract, which I just don't understand. Landry Fields, they're paying him $20 million over the next 3 years, which for a guy who's going to be your eighth man and come off the bench, like, I don't understand that at all. He is a former New York Knicks, so maybe he has a tiny amount of celebrity and draw, but wow, I mean, paying someone who had a solid rookie year and then seemed to regress in the years afterwards, who doesn't really have a true position, I don't get paying him that kind of money. But maybe that's why the Raptors are the Raptors, and they have another very odd team that they've put together.
Yeah, that's really strange. I mean, maybe he's secretly Canadian. They're trying to just, you know, pull together a team of all the, you know, the two best players in the NBA.
He does look a little bit like Drake. Maybe they're just trying to confuse fans.
You know what? That might be right on point, because Drake, as we all know, is a huge Miami Heat supporter.
A natural hoser.
Yeah, he's full of it. But I think that could be possible. Landry Fields, though, yeah, real questionable contract. And then the Suns, trying to fill the guard void, have offered Eric Gordon every dollar that they were legally allowed to. And so we'll see if the Hornets decide to go all in on their erstwhile star, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't see spending that kind of money on Eric Gordon. I mean, especially you don't know what you're getting coming back from injury, which pretty much wiped out his entire last season and contributed to New Orleans' terrible year. He's never proven that much. I mean, he can score a little bit. He was good in college. He had a solid career with a bad Clippers team, but a max contract, that just seems desperate. And the Suns have very little else on that team. If I was a Suns fan, I would almost be hoping that that didn't go through and maybe you can hit on a lottery pick in the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a treading water pick. But again, we said there's not many good shooting guards, so I guess that maybe helps the value out a little bit.
That's true.
Well, I feel sufficiently pumpkin balled out, as our friend said there. Wow, he was talking a million miles a minute. I'm going to have to study his radio technique. We got a little bit more of a drawl, you know, guys. Got to give you information, but also massage your earbuds.
In the South, we talk a little slower because it's so humid, it's harder to move through the air.
Through the air like maple syrup and molasses.
And speaking of the South, you know that we have a natural love for some baseball.
Too true.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Tell me something that's more fucking American than a bunch of white dudes singing about America.
Nothing.
Hard to fucking beat that. That was awesome.
I think you'd have to call that a great Clips quartet because white people don't get their hair cut in a barbershop.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, so that was baseball. And baseball is now upon us. We talked a lot last week about the All-Star game. We bitched and whined and we moaned and we griped. And other synonyms to that we did also. So I hope you guys were cool with that because we're going to do a little bit more this week. Last week, we tried to introduce you guys a little bit to how the voting works, how these teams are elected. So hopefully we have a little bit more credibility when we criticize every possible facet of it this week because we set it up. So we're going to start off before we even talk about who was actually selected. We're just going to name our pitchers. Because pitchers aren't selected by the fans, so we're going to be the fans stepping in to select some pitchers. And I guess we're going to be critical of the players and the coaches because those were the people who selected the pitchers. So without further ado, Travis, you want to tell us your 8 American League pitchers? Just your top?
Yeah, because it's America's birthday, I'm going to talk about the American League. And my 8 pitchers, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but they're actually pretty consistent with what Major League Baseball came up with, the players and coaches. My top 8, in no particular order, Justin Verlander of the Detroit Tigers, Chris Sale of the Chicago White Sox, Weaver of the Angels, Price of the Rays, Sabathia of the Yankees, C.J. Wilson of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California, United States Earth, King Felix of the Seattle Mariners. And that 8th spot is really kind of a toss-up, but I'm going to go Jake Peavy of the Chicago White Sox. I'm happy that he's healthy. He's having a very good year. He's striking out a ton of dudes. And those are my top American League starters from the American League 2. The old school National League. Asa Beal, who are your top 8 National League starting pitchers?
Well, on to the senior circuit, as they like to call it, because the National League is more ancient than the American. I'm going to give you 8 starters, and one of whom is injured, so I'm going to cheat and then replace him with a non-injured person to let me squeak everybody in that I wanted to. So, Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. For the dirtiest breaking stuff I've ever seen. Zach Greinke of the Milwaukee Brewers, a potential trade chip coming up. If the Brewers keep blowing it, we'll get to that later. I'm going to give Ryan Dempster from the Cubs a nod. No, he can't buy a run of run support. He has been incredible with that low ERA, striking out a ton of guys. James McDonald of the Pittsburgh Pirates, another guy who leads the league in a lot of saber-friendly categories, maybe not W's, but he has been really good this year.
He's got a nasty curveball.
He certainly does. And that whole Pirates staff, you know, they kind of pieced it together. They got some old Wiley veterans. A.J. Burnett recovers from that line drive to his face. Eric Bedard's there. Nice little team.
Yeah. They see 1 or 2 more bats, and they'd be serious contenders in the NL Central.
Yeah. I'm going to put Matt Cain on there, partly for the perfect game, partly for the fact that, I mean, talk about the evolution of the pitcher. Cain is a guy who, you know, he's just, every year he's gotten better. And every year he's gone more from, like, solid number two, number three starter to ace. And this year with Lincecum falling off a lot, you know, and just having tons of problems with, you know, limiting runs and even getting through the third inning. Cain,
totally inexplicable. I just don't understand what's going on with Tim Lincecum.
Yeah, but Cain has stepped up, and he's led this Giants team, and I think they're leading the West right now. Going to have to put Steven Strasburg on the team. There's no question about that. He has been the most valuable pitcher, I think, in the NL based on, you know, the time that he's been in there. And going to have to put Gonzalez on there also from the Nationals because he also –
oh, you were hating on him last week, but he's on the All-Star team this week, huh?
I was hating. I mean, I don't think he's going to keep it up, but I think the All-Star team should be about what you've done. And, you know, if he does keep this up, well, shit, he's going to be a Cy Young candidate. I'm not betting on it, but I definitely have to reward him. And then Brandon Beachy, who has, you know, gotten injured for the season, but I think even though that happened, he still deserves acknowledgement for the 2 ERA he put up in the first half and just the utter dominance. But since he's injured, we'll take him off the team, and we'll give a nod to R.A. Dickey, the fan favorite. Couldn't leave him off. I also, there were, you know, it was so hard. There's so many good pitchers. I mean, Bumgarner maybe. Santana deserved a nod even, and especially in this bounce-back season of his. But, yeah, I'll limit it to those eight, which is a little bit different from who the players and coaches selected. You know, I'm not going to give Cole Hamels a free pass on the team just because – you know, he's old school and hits Bryce Harper. And guys like Lance Lynn and Wade Miley, while they were quick out of the gate, have faded a little bit. And to me, don't quite match up to the quality of like a James McDonald. So that's my list.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about Lance Lynn making the All-Star team. I think he's a fine pitcher, but that's a clown statement, bro. How did your NL starting pitching – match up with what the MLB is trotting out there for the All-Star game?
Let's see. So the MLB, so I, so Cain they have, I had Cain, they have Dickey, I have Dickey, they have Gonzalez, I have Gonzalez. They put Hamels, I didn't. I did put Kershaw. I did not put Lynn, did not put Miley, and I did put Strasburg. So I guess it's, there were three starters. So they didn't have Beachy, they didn't have Dempster, or Greinke, or McDonald. How does Greinke not make the team? That is fucking criminal. And
yeah, Greinke and McDonald, both of those guys definitely deserve to go. And yeah, I don't know how in a game that actually matters now, how you could not have Zach Greinke at your disposal. The dude's an absolute monster.
It is unbelievable, and I'm actually really upset because the Brewers are sucking, but that's not what the All-Star game is about at all. Dude has started 17 games. He's pitched in 108 innings so far. And his ERA is 3.08, which it doesn't look as sparkling. But when you look at the other numbers, you go a little next level. He has just been ridiculous. He has 106 strikeouts in 108 innings. He's only walked 24. He's just been beasting. And I think it's criminal that he's been left off. He's, according to Fangraphs, he's generated 3.5 wins above replacement in the first half alone. Now, They say that 7 to 8 wins above replacement is an MVP caliber season. So by that logic, Greinke is potentially on pace to be in the conversation for the MVP. And I don't know. He's 9-2. I mean, what more does he need to do? I hope that he gets some recognition, you know, and potentially will be contending for another Cy Young this year, I think.
Yeah, 9-2 on this year's Brewers team is pretty impressive. For myself in the American League, I only disagreed with the major leagues, with Major League Baseball on one point, and that point was the last pitcher. Verlander, we both agreed on, Chris Sale, Jared Weaver, David Price, CC Sabathia, CJ Wilson, King Felix. Those guys are pretty much obvious standouts. You can make the argument for a few more guys. But the eighth spot, they selected Matt Harrison. I went with Jake Peavy. Peavy, as I said, having a great bounce-back year. Back in the day when he won the ERA title for the San Diego Padres, I thought he was going to be a great pitcher for the next decade. Unfortunately, his tiny frame has dealt with some injuries, He has a higher WAR than Matt Harrison this year, and also more strikeouts. And when I have guys in the All-Star game, I'm hoping that they have the ability to blow someone away. I don't even want, one of the top National League All-Stars. I don't want them being able to even get the ball in play. I'd rather blow them away. So,
yeah.
Also, one of the guys that everyone's making an argument for is my boy.
Soulja Boy, so. Hey, I got the new dance for y'all called the Soulja Boy.
I got a new dance for y'all called Yu Darvish. And a lot of people are saying that Yu Darvish should be in the game because of his international appeal, because he is a cross-cultural hit. And he has a lot of strikeouts this year, a respectable ERA in the mid-threes, a lot of wins, but he does pitch for the Texas Rangers, who have an incredibly good baseball team. I think if you're Major League Baseball, you kind of got to find a way to get this guy into the game. I don't know how you do it because he's not the most deserving. But if you're baseball and you really want to broaden your appeal, Yu Darvish is important. And I think it's good that even if he doesn't make the All-Star team, that he hasn't been a bust because there's been such a long stretch lately of imports coming over and, you know, getting a ton of money and not working out. And it's good to see someone kind of turn that around as Daisuke Matsuzaka did not turn into the most reliable starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox when they signed him to that huge deal. And I think a lot of people were looking at that when the Rangers signed Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Major League Baseball agrees a little bit, which is why a couple of years ago they instituted the final vote thing. And it turns out Yu Darvish is the leading vote getter in that right now. For those of you who don't know, the All-Star rosters are all but constructed. Leaving room for one more spot for each league, and the fans can go to MLB.com and vote as many times as they want for that person. In the American League, Yu Darvish is leading against Jake Peavy, who Travis was talking about, also a deserving guy. Jason Hamill, I think, who's been really good for the Orioles, that surprising team out there. Jonathan Broxton, the intimidating closer for Kansas City, and Ernesto Freire, who's only thrown about 20 innings for the Angels, but has yet to allow a man to cross the plate. And then on the National League side, they have the same thing. We have David Freese leading the way with Cardinals Nation busy on their laptops voting away. Bryce Harper, of course, is going to sneak in. There's no way that one's going to happen. And we have Michael Bourne also. Aaron Hill's on there too, but he's not really worth talking about. Sorry.
Fuck Aaron Hill. No offense, Aaron Hill, if you're listening to this, even though you're probably not.
He does listen. Last week he listened, but this week he couldn't. But,
right. I think he downloads it as a podcast, so he probably won't hear this for at least a week or two.
Yeah, and by that time, we'll already be snuck into his house and robbed him. So. this is not admissible as evidence, by the way. But so this is the last chance. Fans can vote, and this goes on until Thursday, I believe, which is tomorrow. So if you're a Braves fan, get on and vote for Michael Bourne. We already talked about this a little bit. He's been so effing good, and he deserves to be an All-Star. I don't think David Freese does, but Yu Darvish probably will get in. He deserves it as much as the other guys, plus Texas, as we know, has a very avid voting fan base. So this final vote thing, might be kind of good. It might let some guys get in that wouldn't normally get in.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, to harp on the whole Michael Bourne thing, I mean, I think it's just unfortunate that Chipper Jones just didn't make the All-Star team, because what it ended up doing is every single Braves fan logged online, if you're a good Braves fan, and voted for Chipper Jones because it's his last year. All of a sudden, he gets named to the team, and Michael Bourne is very far behind in All-Star voting. He's in fifth place. He's in last place because all the Atlanta fans have been putting their attention to Chipper Jones. So, maybe through injury or something else, he'll make it. But I mean, you said the stats at the beginning of the show. He's top five Major League Baseball and a lot of categories. He's a catalyst at the top of the lineup. And I just make the team, so all you guys out there, get online and vote for Mike Bourne.
Yes, absolutely. Since we only have about 11 minutes left, we need to move along a little bit. I know you guys are enjoying all of this. Let's talk a little bit, because the trade deadline in baseball, the non-waiver trade deadline, is the end of July, and we're now July 4th, obviously, so that leaves a little bit more than 3 weeks left. things will obviously get a lot more busy right at the beginning of the trade deadline, but there's going to be some people on the move very soon. There are a few teams that are obviously out of the running at this point. With the extra wild card, there's more people in contention, but there's some people like the Cubs who, you know, the Padres, who know that they're not going to be in it. So this guy, Zach Greinke, who we're talking about, could he be on the move, Travis?
He could be on the move. A lot of teams are talking to Milwaukee about Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke is pretty much, the Milwaukee Brewers are pretty much out of the race for the playoffs at this point. It's Greinke's walk year. So they're going to want to try to get something for him because they're probably not going to re-sign him.
And obviously everybody needs pitching right now. You know, nobody couldn't use an ace starter to add to their playoff, you know, playoff run. Rotation. But Greinke doesn't necessarily appeal to everybody. The Yankees are a team who, have this special caveat of playing in New York City, and they have basically come out and said they don't think Greinke, who recently got over some anxiety problems that have troubled him his whole life, has the personality to hold up in New York. So the Yankees would rather have someone like Matt Garza, who's pitched in the AL East, because to them that's a quantifiable value that, you know, I don't know how they choose that, but, you know, they care a lot more about personality. So, Greinke maybe appeals to smaller market teams. And I've heard that the Braves are in the running for him after losing Brandon Beechey for the season. And with the uncertainty of the young pitchers, only really having two reliable guys in the rotation with Hanson and Hudson. Personally, I'd be all for it. I don't want it to be a rental. Greinke is a guy who will be a free agent at the end of this year. So I would hope if the Braves traded for him, they would do it expecting that they would be able to sign him to a long-term deal. But I don't know. What do you think?
I love Zach Greinke, and I would also like to sign him to a long-term deal. After this year, Chipper's contract and another large contract comes off the books. I'm trying to think of who it is. I mean, it's Mike Bourne, and then there's somebody else.
Obviously.
Oh, Derek Lowe also comes off the book. So we would potentially have the money to do it, and I think that he would be a good fit in Atlanta. It's not, as you said, as high pressure as New York, but also according to MLB trade rumors, the Braves are believed to seriously be considering a trade for Greinke, even if they don't have the assurance of keeping him beyond 2012. Huh. And Dave O'Brien said that the Braves probably wouldn't offer him $20 million a year. But a former teammate of Greinke's has told CBSSports.com that Greinke would like to play for the Braves. He likes the city of Atlanta. He wants to win badly, and he thinks that we have a good team. So I think that it would be a good fit. And last year at this time, all we were hearing about were Atlanta's three pitchers of the apocalypse, or the three horsemen of the apocalypse or whatever. And those three guys have really dropped their stock. I mean, Delgado, I think he's going to be a serviceable starter. He has a really good changeup. Minor has been very inconsistent this year, and while Teron has torn up AAA, he hasn't really made the jump that they were hoping. Mm-hmm. So I think that that could happen, and we could possibly see one of Atlanta's top prospects getting moved. Do you mind if I hit you with some breaking news?
Do it.
The Florida Marlins have just acquired Carlos Lee.
Oh,
the Marlins are 38-42 in a year that they were hoping to make a huge splash. And they just traded Matt Dominguez and Rob Rasmussen. I don't really know anything about either of them because I'm not one of the 12 Marlins fans that exist. But it'll help Miami out with their first base situation, and it'll help Houston out with some payroll relief. An interesting move. Carlos Lee earlier turned down going to the Dodgers, but apparently he's cool with playing for Ozzie Guillen in Miami.
Yeah, they're assembling, quite a team of former stars over there in Miami. But, yeah, like you said, Lee, with no trade clause, didn't want to go to the Dodgers, agrees to be traded to the Marlins. As a guy who at this point in his career is pretty much a stationary, guy who just slams the ball. Doesn't give a lot on defense, definitely can't play the outfield anymore. But a guy who can really drive in some runs. And the Marlins, even with that, really talented lineup, just haven't been putting up the numbers that they'd like. So I think it's an interesting trade. I know a little bit about Dominguez. He was a big prospect, and kind of his star has fallen a little bit. He definitely, I think he just really couldn't hit. He's known as a really good defender, but
I think what position does he play?
He's a third baseman.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's a good deal for Houston. I wonder how much of the salary they have to eat. But once the Caballo's gone, you know, there's some other similar players on the trade market out there, like Josh Willingham for the Twins, who is an outfielder but is also a similar power bat. Carlos Quentin for the Padres is a similar player, a guy who has had a huge year since he got healthy with the Padres.
When he's healthy, he rakes. I've heard that the Padres are content because they're out of the playoff race, obviously, with dealing him and Houston Street, which would be a nice bullpen arm for some team, too.
Mm, yeah, it would be. The Padres, I mean, I think their farm system was ranked number one in baseball by a lot of people this year. So I guess, you know, it's just ever the rebuilding process. You know, acquire a few veterans, flip them for young talent, and maybe in a couple of years they'll have a similar thing like Kansas City is having, where, you know, a lot of these guys graduate at the same time, and hopefully they can put together a winning team for once.
Trying to money ball all the way to the bank.
Yeah, exactly. So let's real quick do the fantasy pickup of the week. We only have a few minutes left. Travis, would you like to give yours?
Sure. Last week I gave you two names, and you know what? I haven't checked on how they're doing, but I assume that they're both producing buku stats for your team, so you're welcome. This week I'm going to give you a good hitter, young prospect. Well, not really necessarily a prospect. He's been around for a few years, but Tyler Colvin. He had a rough year for the Cubs last year, but he has turned it around in Colorado, as many people are apt to do. As I said last week, Jamie Moyer trying to revive his career as a pitcher in Colorado was like trying to overcome a crack addiction in the fourth ward of Atlanta, and this is kind of the opposite effect of that. It's he doesn't necessarily have a full-time job to call his own, but he still plays a lot, and that works into your advantage because he can play first base, he can play outfield for you, and yeah, he has he's had pretty good stats. He has 3 home runs in the past week. He's hitting around 300, and he's available if you play on Yahoo in about 91% of all the Yahoo leagues. So if you're looking for a bat you can throw in there that hits at Coors Field and can maybe get you a little bit of power for the stretch run, then check out Tyler Colvin. Maybe he's the right guy for your team if you have a first base or outfield spot that needs plugging. What
nice.
Do you got for me, Asa?
Nice. Well, I would like to apologize briefly because last week I did suggest Chris Archer, and later that day it was announced that he was being sent down to the minors. So that was a poor pick, but this week I'm going to make up for it. This is a guy maybe not quite as under the radar, but not owned in most leagues still. And his name is Travis as well. His last name is Wood.
So I like him already.
Maybe he's your alter ego porn star, Travis Wood. But he is a really good pitcher, actually, for the Cubs. And he's a guy who's been you know, was kind of a late bloomer, and the Cubs dealt Sean Marshall to the Reds, one of their best relievers, for Travis Wood, and he's been real good. He gets strikeouts. He's gone deeper into games. Won't get you a ton of wins because he's on the Cubs, but solid pickup right there. And now, in the last 2 minutes, we're going to do the first edition of a segment we like to call
the Haiku Battle. Haiku.
All right, we have a minute and a half. Travis, you go first in the haiku battle.
Well, we didn't get a ton of suggestions for the haiku battle, but we did get America because it's the 4th of July. I got to say, we both love haikus as an art form. It helps me express myself. Here's mine, 575 haiku. Can you dig it? USA, I say, but they don't listen to me because they are deaf.
Oh.
And that's my haiku. What do you have for me? What's your 4th of July America haiku?
Mine is, nerds like hockey. They don't know America, beer, and baseball for me.
That is a wonderful sentiment on the 4th of July.
Thank you. Thank you, Travis. So, yeah, in the future, guys, please write in either on our Twitter handles, which, again, is Ace of Base on Balls, or at Travis_PWNS. Homes, or foul_territory, or you can email us, Facebook us, smoke signal, whatever you want. But please next week pitch in some ideas for our haiku battle, and we will pick a theme from the audience. We only have a few seconds left. I'd like to sign off. Thank you. you. It's been very real on this second episode. And we'll talk to you next week, Travis.
We'll talk to you next week. This is Travis Jones signing out. Please send us some tweets. We'll read them on the air next week. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th to you.
Nice.
Damn, 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 damn.